Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, we want to say thanks to Sprint. They were phenomenal all week on Radio Row with all the great appearances where we got to get out and shake hands, kiss babies, take selfies, and watch Travis sign autographs. We appreciate Sprint and all that they did to support and make sure that it was possible for us to be on Radio Row and out in the community during the fantastic week that was in our rearview mirror now, Super Bowl week. So with that being said, we've been inundated with great calls all day long. We might as well keep going. Another JJ wants to chime in. This from Mo City. What's up? You got something for Travis?
Yeah, what's going on? I just called in. I listen to you guys all the time. I really want to call in and see what Travis had to say about just playing football. When the kicker tried to be the wind bust on that onside kick, that caught everybody off guard. I couldn't even believe he did. Like, just playing with kickers, if they make a 30-yard, 40-yard field goal, they're supposed to make that. But if he's making a tackle or hitting somebody, that gives you a little extra up, you know what I'm saying, during the game. And the other thing I really don't understand is when people say the defense played 96 plays, they had to play against somebody, and the offense played 96 plays too. Now, I'm not a New England fan, but they just wanted it more than Atlanta did towards the end, and all the other play call and stuff like that came to play too. But that kicker play, that really turned it over to me. And when the commentator said they were going to lose, nobody ever came back. Well, from 18 points down, I knew New England was going to win. And then everything happened for them to win.
All right, JJ, appreciate the call, man. Thanks for chiming in, man. Thanks for listening every day.
The onside kick, they didn't recover. Atlanta recovered it. It was a penalty because it ended up touching them. So I don't know what to address on that.
I think he's saying that the kicker actually, that Gostkowski, after he kicked it, was willing to take a hit and make a hit trying to make the play. But
as far as the plays are concerned, the offense is a lot different. You know, when you offense plays 96 plays, that's what they're trained to do.
If it's a running play, the receivers are going to
The receivers are taking off. Or if it's a passing play, for the most part, the running backs are, they're not really exerting a lot of energy. They don't do as much running as we actually do covering the field. Not only that, we aren't used to, like, a lot of our stuff is rotations. So they got a lot more rotation. For the offense, the only people who really get tired of stuff like that is the offensive linemen. They're the only ones that don't come out the game outside of the quarterback. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying, but it's different. When if a defense is out there for 96 plays, it's never a good thing. If an offense is out there for 96 plays, it's always a good thing.
And again, you said the average amount of snaps a defense,
about 65, 70 plays a game.
Okay. Wow. So that's something to put it in perspective for you, JJ, because, look, that was – and, you know, I know that people feel cursed or they feel jinxed when an announcer makes a certain comment. I mean, the bottom line that you should take into consideration is the fact that no team in Super Bowl history
has come back from a 10-point deficit, yeah,
let alone 25.
Exactly.
All right, Nilo, you want to get in here? You also want to talk to Trav. What's up?
Hey, Trav. Hey, man, how y'all doing? Great show, man. But Trav, I'm surprised at you, man. You my encyclopedia of sports.
What's up? What's up?
You realize that how many players was from Houston on that New England team yesterday? You had number 52. You had Bennett, went to A-League.
Of course.
I don't know if it's Edelman or Amendola.
Amendola from the Woodlands, yeah.
Yeah, man, I was so surprised, man. But, man, y'all keep doing what y'all doing. I think I die if I don't hear y'all on the radio, man. This is my show right here.
I appreciate it, brother. Be safe out there.
Yeah, I mean, that can factor in a little bit, you know, as far as a lot of these guys got to play home and play at home for the first time.
They looked at Marty for the last two plays to try and get him the game winning score at home.
Yeah, and, yeah. I think even with that penalty, it was big for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think part of the issue was if the linebacker was just to turn around a little bit better.
I was going to ask you, was that a penalty?
It was a ticky-tack foul, but it was something they had to give him because he never turned around to look for the ball. You see what I'm saying? And it was something. Some people call it, some people don't call it. Okay. You know, me personally, I might not have called it. Just see how dramatic it would have got after that, you know, not being on the 2-yard line. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so I have another one for you. I texted it to you, and I know you were busy with other things, and I didn't have any more errands to run for you, so you ignored me. But I really mean this. Why does the NFL – I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. Why does the NFL – is it a rule I'm missing, and what is the gist behind it? When a guy goes out of bounds in the middle of a the middle of the game, third quarter, guy goes out of bounds. New England needs to save all the time that they can.
But no, that's
when – and they start the clock again.
But they did that on accident. That's why they stopped the game and reset the clock. That's why the game – when you had that – as I forgot to reply to you, but that's why they stopped the game right after that when they realized the clock didn't stop.
So it's supposed to win anytime the ball goes out of bounds.
Anytime the guy has to get all the way out of bounds. So he can't just get a –
normally I'm looking for the line to do the – if he's winding it, if he's winding the signal.
Yeah, but he stopped the clock. That's why when they reset the ball and then all of a sudden that's why the referees, they stopped the game at that moment and to make sure to set the clock back.
I really want to know. That's why I really wanted to ask you that because that was bothering me at the time, and I guess I must have missed it where I must have stepped out of the room for a second. But that was like – I'm like, you're trying to save every second if you're New England at that time because you're still double digits down. Yeah. And they started winding it, and it was driving me crazy. So that's good to figure that one out. What else you guys want to talk about? Because there's plenty to go with the Super Bowl. Commercial-wise, I think we covered that. There's a report out now that Chris Berman, who had his last broadcast for NFL, that Carissa Thompson may be the leader in the clubhouse in terms of someone that will replace him. She's currently at Fox. You've seen her also, I think, on Extra or other TV shows other than the NFL and the coverage that they get on Fox. But now she's on Dan Patrick's show today, and she doesn't deny it. But basically the conversation goes, Patrick says, I saw that you were rumored to be replacing Chris Berman. She says, basically, without denying it, but trying to die it, no. She said, I saw Berman in the lobby today. We laughed about it, but no. He said, is that a denial or a non-denial? She said, it's a big chair to fill, definitely not on the table. Speculation is what it is. I'm happy with my role right now at Fox. Patrick says, but if you were offered, and she says it hasn't been offered, he says, okay, hypothetically, what if it was offered? No, I have a good thing at Fox. I get to live in California. I get an entertainment job, which is the extra gig, and I also get to do sports. I can't complain. At the end, it sounded like more like she was trying to convince herself that it wasn't something that not only did she wanted to do, but that would be offered to her. But when you think about everything that's been going on lately and how the other way around, Fox has been poaching ESPN talent, and then you look at the fact that they could try and get someone from Fox to go over to ESPN, and as we all know, they're trying to make it younger, hipper, cooler.
But she ain't young, though.
But she's a... Look, she's a female that's better looking than what they got, that is also doing a Hollywood show that kind of spices it up for them a little bit.
Yeah, but I think if she's doing Berman's job, then how many days a week is she going to be working? Because she's not giving up the ET gig, and she's not leaving California to go to Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, when we had Stephen A. on last week, and we were talking about Skip, and he said, look, from the standpoint of just Skip leaving, you can't fault him for wanting to go to L.A., to the sunshine, get the money, and get basically be the focal point of the show.
Yeah.
So that does have a draw in itself in going to Fox. All right, we got Andre that wants to get in here before the end of the game, before the end of the break. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just want to mention, now, Julio Jones had a decent game, but he didn't have his typical game. Now, the guy 25, Eric Rowe from Klein High School, I thought he did a pretty good job on Julio, and I haven't heard anyone mention that. What do you guys think about that?
But there was constant double teams on him, Andre.
Yeah, he said there was constant. They were boxing one, double team, safety over the top. They did everything they could to hold him down. And your boy Malcolm Butler still turned into a meme during the game. You know, when he almost broke his ankle and tore his ACL at the same time.
Yeah, he sure did, didn't he?
So I mean,
That's the thing. You talk about he wasn't much of a factor, but you look at him, you look at his stats, and then you look at the kind of catches that he made. The one thing that I mentioned on Twitter yesterday but I'm talking about the fact that from Julio's standpoint, especially when you factor in all the things he was able to do with a turf toe, and he's jamming those two toes in the ground on two huge receptions for them.
I'm not debating that, but all I'm saying is 2 weeks of rest. He had a big game the game before the Super Bowl, so he had two weeks of rest on that toe. I'm just saying, Eric Rowe, did a pretty good job. I know he had help, but that's Julio Jones. He had help. Eric Rowe, guy from Spring High School, you got to give him a little bit of credit. I know he had help, but every once in a while I saw him in man-to-man also.
He was never a man-to-man.
No,
Julio
it was.
Jones.
There was always a safety or someone. I even had my wife, who's not a football aficionado, and she was paying close attention to the fact that, especially in the fourth quarter, they were dropping a guy down and making no mistake. Yeah. There was only one guy on the high side, on the left side, and there were two defenders in front of him. But look, credit where credit is due. Look, we're not taking away from anybody. We're just saying it wasn't just a one man band.
I thought he played good, but I don't think it was nothing. He did his job. You know, wasn't nothing special. But he did his job. And was able to cover him with help.
All right, Quentin, we see you. We're coming to you next. We've got much more show to go. We can bust into anything you want to talk about with the Super Bowl or otherwise. Rockets are on the floor tomorrow night against Orlando after they had a nice little three-day break, so other teams can catch up to the amount of games that they've played in the NBA. We can cover that if you'd like as well. Super Bowl commercials if you want. The epic collapse of the Falcons. And where does that get the Oilers off the hook from the 35-3 debacle with the Bills? It's conversational. What?
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the public service announcement. If you have the white number 12 New England Patriots jersey last seen in the locker room of the New England Patriots, please return it now. Call Crime Stoppers, if you can, at 713-222-TIPS, and I'm not sure that's the right phone number. But make sure that if you have it, turn it in, because this thing is a story within itself. And as much as Nick and I scoured the internet, because I was watching the Today Show this morning, if you missed this at all, Brady takes the jersey off after the game. He puts on the championship T-shirt. He threw it in his bag. After he gets done at the shower and everything like that, he looks back in his bag, can't find the jersey. Now, the Today Show reported this morning that it was missing. Then Craig Melvin reported later in the show that he had talked to the equipment staff and that they had located it. ESPN, it was a front-page story that it disappeared. Now it's back. Even in Brady's MVP press conference, he talked about it and the fact that it's a collector's piece and it could be found on eBay. If anybody finds it off of eBay, to let him know. But now this, of course, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick had to get involved. He's embarrassed for the city and the state. He doesn't want such a monumental performance and effort and a great week in Houston be black-eyed by the fact that a jersey was taken. So now he's got the Texas Rangers. No, not the ones in Arlington. The ones that are like a different version of the police force. They're involved trying to locate, find, and solve the mystery. Authenticators are out there stating, unless we authenticate it as the jersey, it has no value at all. Best thing that they're telling people who have the jersey to do if they're trying to profit from it, get a lawyer, give it to him, see if you can work out if there's a reward, but it's not going to be what you think it's going to be in terms of payment. Holy cow, Trap. It's just a life of its own for a jersey. And I understand who it is.
The thing is, it's who it is for one.
Yep.
For two, it's his jersey. He deserves it. That's his. It belongs to him. Mm-hmm. So it's got an exponential value to it.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
No, I get that. But I mean, come on, man. I mean, for the most part, these equipment guys weren't born yesterday. If they can bury a phone and burn another cell phone and deflate footballs, and they can find the jersey.
Oh, not if it's somebody who walked in that locker room. That wasn't a part of the team.
That's the thing. When he says he put it in his bag, when did he do that? Like, normally the guys start taking off their jerseys on the field because they want to put that T-shirt on and get that hat.
But that's what I'm saying. But some of them put it over their jerseys, which he didn't.
Right.
So that means he gave the equipment guys his pads, and they took it inside. And then when he got to the locker room, the jersey was right there, and it was in his locker, and he threw it in his bag. Gotcha. So he's saying he put it in his bag. So one of two things, in my opinion. For one, if I'm him, I'd have gave it to my father in the first place. Right there on the field. Give it to him. Hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because now it's not. Now you know Papa Brady's not letting that thing out of sight. Mm-hmm. Now he might got jumped in the parking lot, which I doubt. I'm pretty sure he had his own security. You know what I mean? Being in these with Giselle and being all other stuff.
Good point.
So, it wouldn't surprise me if Tom took it himself. So you made a great point with that. The Hall of Fame doesn't get it.
Yeah, so that they don't just confiscate it and say
this is going directly to the Hall of Fame.
The players don't have a say so in that?
No, if they want it, they take it.
But it's your jersey.
You don't own. I was about to say the S word. You don't own nothing in this league.
Travis Johnson, you're telling me if you play in a Super Bowl and after the game you want to put that jersey in your office and frame it, you don't get that jersey?
You got to pay for it.
So what? So then tell us, why can't Brady just say I'm going
to
pay for it?
I got to be allowed. You got if I own a jersey, I got to be willing to sell it to you.
So you're saying that each player that plays in the Super Bowl,
they still get their jersey. Now the owner probably might just donate and say, here, hey, y'all have this.
Yeah.
You know, that's normally what they do, but they don't have to do that.
You get a new jersey for every game, right?
No.
Okay, so Derrick Brooks gave me one of his jerseys.
And they'll make another one.
Derrick Brooks has it stitched in there. Each game, it says game, opponent, things like that.
He might have done that, but he paid for all of those jerseys.
Right. Because I'm sure because of his charitable efforts.
But he paid for all those jerseys.
Okay. So you did not get a new jersey.
Heck no, man. I used to have, man.
What do they cost?
Depends. $175 a piece.
Yeah.
But it's like, why do I need a new jersey every game?
Okay. All right. So we got that going as well. Quentin, you want to get in on Super Bowl talk? What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. What's going on?
Hey, first and foremost, let me say, man, I hate that guy with a passion. That Tom Brady guy. I hate that guy. But, you know, I had to admit last night to my kids, which really hurt my feelings, that he's probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback to ever play the game.
Yep.
You know, but to me, it kind of seems, and I'm going to be way off base. You know, Travis, you'll be able to let me know on this one. It almost seems like a script. You know, how the heck do the Falcons go up 28-3, or was it 28-9, and then end up losing 34-28? I mean, that's insane. Second of all, about the jersey, man, yeah, I'm with you, Travis. I think he took it himself. Cause you know what, all that goes to confirm that I think he's the one that took Kyle Shanahan's tablet or whatever it was.
No.
You know, I'll hang up and listen.
That's far off base. I think Kyle just misplaced it and the guy picked it up. And
the backpack.
Yeah, I think Kyle, all his free stuff
you
out there.
You saw my tweet yesterday, right?
Yeah, I saw it today. Oh. I was on Twitter, but I wasn't really watching everybody else. I was just basically talking to myself and talking to on a little text message stuff. But I mean, I think Kyle misplaced the stuff. I think how did it happen? It happened because Atlanta allowed it to happen. They changed from their game plan. They went away from the things that they were doing positively. The ball just didn't bounce their way. I mean, it's one thing, you know, in basketball, the ball is circle. It bounces up and down. You throw NFL football down and just roll it. It's never going to go the same place twice.
The thing that amazes me is every time you see a fumble and you see that guy should have got that ball,
it rarely
ends up in that guy's hands.
Yeah, it always
takes a different bounce, pops a different way.
It's the craziest thing in the world. That's what makes the game unique, is the ball bounces different every time.
Taylor, you want to get in here? What's up?
Not much, man. Are you telling me a guy with an R on his name, Dan Patrick, will spend the taxpayers' money frivolously trying to find a jersey? Don't you think we need to do something else with that?
Without getting political, you heard what I said. Dan Patrick's got no business getting in the middle of that.
That's just the hypocrisy of our government. But anyway, I was calling about the Hall of Fame voting. I think the fix was in.
Oh, man.
We haven't talked about that yet.
I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, okay, Hall of Famer, surefire, you know, everybody ballot. But Kurt Warner, so you're telling me Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer, so Matt Ryan's a Hall of Famer? Because they basically going to have the same career. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't even think Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. And you put Kurt Warner in the Hall of Fame, and you put TD in there. TD, he had the Gale Sayers career. I just think the fix was in. And soon as they wasn't even minute yet, NFL Network, well, we got six Hall of Famers now. I mean, the Hall of Fame is kind of starting to be like a reality show. And you cannot tell me T.O. does not belong in the Hall of Fame before Kurt Warner. I mean, the guy didn't have any off-field problems. You know what I'm saying? Okay. A lot of guys have, you know, problems with, you know, multiple children's mothers or whatever, but the guy wasn't a bad teammate that bad. I mean, what is it that he had to do? All he has to do. Who's in this case?
And Taylor, we appreciate the call, and we're going to address it when we get back from commercial.
Yep.
But
I mean, look, there's a lot to get into with this because it goes back to what I've been saying all along, which is until they become completely transparent and not only who you voted for, but if you figure out what the criteria is, because if you look at his stats, statistically, he already should be in the Hall of Fame. But we'll break down the Hall of Fame selections and the snuffs and what we think about all that.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Travis, and Nick till 4 o'clock. It's our mistake and our bad that we didn't get to the Hall of Fame sooner because it is something that is a point of contention with a lot of folks across the country. The new inductees into the Hall of Fame, in case you missed it, LaDainian Tomlinson, Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis, Kenny Easley, the all-pro safety for the Seahawks for years.
And he deserves it.
Yep. Jason Taylor from the Dolphins.
Yeah, pro tech.
Morton Anderson, the kicker for the Saints. And Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. The big snuff is Terrell Owens. Sorry. And T.O. definitely was in town and also tweeting to make sure that he started by saying, unfortunately, I did not make it again this year. Thanks to all my fans and supporters. And then hashtagged it flawed process. Then he said, when you align expectations with reality, you will never be disappointed. To my family, fans, friends, I am a Hall of Famer. Hashtag flawed process. Then finished with, Hall of Fame is a total joke. Honestly, doesn't mean anything to me to get in beyond this point. Look, we've said this forever. We've been saying this about Hall of Fames and MVPs and all the different voting that goes on. When you take external forces and allow them to have the power of the pen or the pencil or the vote, especially because it's so hyper-scrutinized, they need to do a better job of, one, defining the criteria, and two, then complete transparency from the voters. Because you either get guys that are way past their prime and aren't covering the game on a regular basis that are chiming in with a vote, and if they just don't like the guy and the way he carried himself off the field, they're going to keep him out. You and I have had this conversation about Darren Sharper, and that's a longer conversation for another day because we're still going to have that. But in this case, when you look at statistically, second in the NFL in career receiving yards, second.
He's only behind Jerry.
Behind Jerry Rice. Third NFL career receiving touchdowns, 153. Led NFL in touchdowns three seasons. Five-time AP first-team All-Pro. The stats don't lie. You may not like the guy as a person or what he's done off the field and otherwise. You cannot argue with the stats on the field.
Can't. I think it's just them being petty. I think if he didn't, I think he might have got in last year if he didn't T.O., and, you know, if he wasn't TOing basically after Marvin got in before him, I think if he'd kept his mouth shut, I think they'd let him in this year. I think.
But here's the thing, Trav. This is what I don't like. And this is right down your wheelhouse. Look, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't be punished because you open your mouth.
Yeah, but they have full control now. So they have full control now. It doesn't matter. I mean, when you got a guy like, when they don't like you, they don't like you. You look at Kevin Green. How long did Kevin Green have to wait?
You're right, long time.
And he's still top five in sacks right now. How long did he have to wait?
But you see my point. That's why the criteria has got to be made public.
But what they gonna say, y'all? But there is no set criteria.
I'm saying, but you take the combination of the criteria is public, and then the voters who vote have to publicize who they voted for. So you can go, are you kidding me that you put so and so above them?
I think the problem is there's not a number in football that makes it actual criteria. I think when you look at what just happened. With them letting TD in. I think the biggest issue with that is it's going to open the door for a lot of other running backs. It's going to open the door. It's going to say, well, hold on now, because outside of it, and what's helping him is the two rings and the 2,000 yards. But 6,500 yards, I mean, he's a 7,200 yard rushing guy.
Talking about
Terrell Davis. You know, now all of a sudden you've opened the door for all these guys over the time.
He win an MVP?
I don't think so.
With the year he had the 2,000
yeah,
yards?
Well, yeah, the year he had 2,000, he might have won it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm saying, look, I'm with you. I looked at these, and I was going to ask you about this. Kurt Warner,
35,000 yards. Right now, Drew Brees has almost twice as many yards as Kurt Warner.
So, again, criteria-wise, he's got two MVPs. He's got a ring. He was a Super Bowl MVP. But overall, when you look at his numbers, and we've talked about this and beat it like a dead horse with Eli and how you got to get to 60,000 yards minimum – in this past happy day. Terrell Davis, career cut short for whatever, and all these other things. But those stats matter.
I think for Terrell Davis, I mean, that the problem is you had four productive years. They gave you 7,200 yards, including the 2,000-yard season. I think the two rings is what helps him out. I think when you look at Kurt Warner, to me, yeah, he got how many MVPs did he win? One.
He won two MVPs.
So you know,
a Super Bowl win with a Super Bowl MVP.
But at the same time, you got to look who was around him. He had three of arguably the top 10 receivers of all time in Oz Akeem, Isaac Bruce, and Torrey Holt. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And by the way, he got Marshall Faulk
in the backfield. His left tackle is also a first ballot Hall of Fame in Big Orlando Pace.
Pace from Ohio State.
So yep. you have to factor that stuff in. I mean, they were called the greatest show on turf. Yep. They were the first team to actually spread the offense out.
And there's another guy that's going to be that was lobbying, Isaac Bruce, who thinks because of that and the stats, he should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, and I don't disagree.
No question. Him and Oz Akeem.
Well, first, before Oz Akeem, I think Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt should both be
in
there.
No question. But you got to look at the thing is, a lot of people.
I think people forget about Oz Akeem.
Oz Akeem got more yards than both of those guys. If I'm
not even saying,
I'm pretty sure he got more yards than both of those guys.
I don't think that's right. Torrey might
have the only one that maybe has more because of the longevity, but I'm pretty sure how many does Oz Akeem have?
We'll figure it out. In the meantime, we just wanted to get to that. I think that we've had a couple people holding, but again, I think there were some that were questionable in terms of the Hall of Fame this year just simply because of longevity. But we will go with Jose first. You want to talk about Brady retiring? What's up?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Strav J, Joel, before I go into my question, Joel, I got confirmation from Bird that the gym's going to open up in 3 weeks, so be ready to school by me. Yeah, I'm that, Jose. Next question, the question I was asking
Which gym,
was,
brother?
Considering that Brady has cemented his legacy, do you think he's seriously considering retirement? I only ask this because I noticed from the few games that he didn't play that great that his arm strength has gone down. Now I'm going to hang up and let y'all boys
wait. Wait, which gym are you talking about? All right, good talk.
And you know what? I apologize. Oz Akeem was a good role player. He didn't have. I was trying to. It's another one I'm thinking about. Not Oz Akeem, because Oz Akeem didn't have that many yards. He just was a good role player for a long time. Right, I'm gonna figure it out in a minute.
We'll figure that one out. But yeah, I was gonna say because I forgot. You forget who the third is, but Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce should both be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Deion Sanders brought up Brady retiring because you can retire on the pinnacle of the mountaintop, much like MJ did. You know, when you've done it all, you walk out as a winner, your last official game, you lead your team on the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, you're the most valuable player, and you can fade into the sunset with all the accolades. And he said that his wife, Giselle, also was pushing that. And he said, look, I've got much more in the tank. I still feel great. I still want to keep competing and playing, and I'm not ready to walk away.
And he shouldn't walk away. He's got six more years in him. I mean, this is outside of this last 12 games of the season and along the playoffs is his best he's ever played all in his entire career.
Yeah. And it's only going to, I think it's going to get better before it gets worse. I mean, he's got a great team around him, and he's proven in that the system is perfect. The coaching staff is right. No one's going anywhere for next year. So I don't see any reason why he walks away.
And he's not like Brady, who had a surgery that dwindled, ended up dwindling. I mean, not Brady, but you know what I'm talking about. Damn, Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Had the surgery that dwindled away his strength.
All right, we got one. JB, Trap J, and Quick Nick to wrap this thing up and put a bow on it before we turn it over to the Blitz with one segment to go and a whole lot of good show in the rearview mirror. We're looking at the windshield, looking at one call to get to. Josh, you want to talk about Brady and Belichick before we get out of here? What's up, man?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I will say really quickly, I know how to solve this. You leave Morton Anderson out. You leave the kicker out. What are we doing? Can we just have like a kicker Hall of Fame?
I think you said you wish they would have left him out.
Yeah, absolutely. You put T.O. in and leave Morton Anderson out.
See, but I think this is what people.
Here's the thing is that this is the all time leading scorer in the NFL.
Right.
And for years they bothered not to put kickers in, but right now they got to put those kickers in because when it comes time, Adam Vinatieri has to go in.
Yes.
So you can't.
It's
so you
all
can't,
part of the game of football. It's the football part,
you
hall of fame.
Exactly. Okay. And before you put those kickers in, you didn't have a full
football
team. And
here's what I was going to say. People need to realize this isn't put this guy in and not this guy.
Yeah.
It's just position by position. Do they belong in or don't they?
And that's how it should be. And I think
I agree.
I think that's how it should be. I think when you look at stuff and saying, does this guy belong in? You say, was he a game changer? Was he one of the best players for a certain length of time? How, you know, was he a trendsetter? You know, you look at all of those things and say that. I think, you know, I think probably one of the most disappointing things about this class, I have two friends, real friends going to this class, in LT and Jason Taylor. And I'm not looking forward to none of them speak.
Really?
I'm not looking forward to not one single speech.
There's always someone that surprises you, though.
No, but I'm not looking. And normally there is, but I'm really not looking forward to any.
Josh, what else you got?
Okay, well, sorry, I wanted to stand up for T.O. because he is the man, and he for so long was all those things that you just said. He was a trendsetter, good or bad.
But the problem is
last night I thought it was the most brilliant decision making by Brady and Belichick. To look at in the beginning of the game, they said, okay, you're playing cover one, you're playing man up on us, then here's what we're going to do. I mean, by the middle of the third quarter, James White and Deion Lewis, they didn't even bother standing next to Brady. They lined up six wide and said, we're going to see if you 22 and 23-year-olds can run. You have never been in week 21 of an NFL season. You've never played 50 minutes of this stage. We're just going to see, can you keep up with my guys? Because I know Edelman and Amendola and these guys are going to keep working for me. It was amazing. He cemented himself as the GOAT. I already thought he was the GOAT, but now I don't have to argue with anybody anymore. I just get to hold up a whole palm and say, this is how many he has. How many
one thing is, you can't go six wide. It's impossible. They played a little bit of man, but they played a lot of two man under. And that's one of the reasons why Brady started getting a lot of that time towards the end of the game. Those guys weren't, I mean, all year they've been the suspect guys on the corners anyway. And the fact that they play early on, Atlanta had success because of their front four. Their front four dominated the front four of the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, when you look at what Dwight Freeney was putting Nate Soldier on.
The Falcons dominated the Patriots.
The Patriots, is what I'm saying.
Okay. No, but
bad. But the Falcons dominated the Patriots up front with just four-man rush. So, and when they got tired, it was over. I don't think it had anything to do with, I mean, he started to go lights out. He did. And I still think, and I believe he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, I think five rings speaks for itself. And I think he very much has a possibility of hitting six rings, mm-hmm. which, I mean, people haven't even started talking about. I think he has that possibility.
They are the favorites in Vegas.
But at the same time, the Falcons gave this game up. This had nothing to do with Brady did his part, but the Falcons did more than hit their part to give this game away. Thanks for calling, Josh.
Josh, you there?
He did something that nobody's ever done, and he did it at 39 years old. Here's what I don't like.
It's obvious you're a Patriots fan, too. We're just breaking it down from an honest perspective.
Hey, man, take the dang meat and cucumber out your mouth, man. Let's be real, man. Right now, you don't have to get him to that point. You know what I mean?
You don't have to lobby for him. We know he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Come on, dude. Like, he's like, oh, he did something nobody... You can't have a conversation with people like that.
That's what I'm saying. And it's a discussion, so there's going to be two sides of it. And the fact of the matter is, no one's trying to sell Brady short. It's just, look, these guys are professionals. And as part of being professionals, they're trained, they're athletic. You just said it yourself. They're 23, 24 years old. They got plenty of spring in their step. When you play 93 defensive snaps, and on the defensive side of the ball, you're playing every snap all the time to its fruition because of the fact that you're expected to cover ground, go to the other side of the field, do what you need to do to stop plays, it's a different story. And there's a reason why Atlanta was winning for the entire first half, because their defense showed up and were dominating more than people thought they were capable of. But when you look at what the biggest difference was between the first half and the second half, the fact of the matter was they looked like they were spent.
I stopped listening to Josh when he said they went six wide.
I kind of noticed that you pointed that out.
Yeah, like,
I did.
Once he said that, it was like, who? There's no longer conversation
Trav,
to have.
I don't think you understand it, okay? I don't think that you're getting it, and I think that this is where I have to step in. If you go to the garbage can on the left before you go to the driveway corner in the right, you can go six wide and still be open in the corner of the end zone, depending on if the gutter gets in the way when the ball is thrown. I'm just letting you know, okay? And if any car comes, it's an automatic do-over. So even if you score on that play, you replay the down.
Yeah, I guess so. Must be playing Looney Tunes.
Just playing street ball, baby.
Yeah.
All right. So overall, before we wrap this thing up, biggest takeaway from the game. We all agree that Brady's the greatest of all time now. Belichick has to be considered in the same breath simply because he's not only won five with the Patriots, but he's also won his two with the Giants. He's participated in more than 20% of Super Bowls. And El Jefe tweeted me last night and said they should stop calling it the Lombardi Trophy and call it the Belichick. No. Because they both have won five as a head coach.
Lombardi, did he win five or did he win four? I don't think Lombardi won five Super Bowls.
Well, they list him in terms of coaches. He was right up there at five, at least the stats that I saw.
You're not
rewriting history. Like you can find other things if you want to name something after someone, but you can't take away what Belichick has done.
He is rewriting history.
Yeah.
I mean, but you can't take away what Lombardi has done and what he's done for the game. Right. So the trophy will always be, you know, the Lombardi trophy. But, I mean,
Does it surprise you when you knew how bad he was in Cleveland to have turned it around like this?
No, but it wasn't that he was bad in Cleveland, because he wasn't bad in Cleveland. The egotistical person that he was is what ran him out of Cleveland. Is the I'm a genius, you're dumber than me, is what ran him out of Cleveland. I think the fact that, I mean, he still has a little bit of that in him, a lot of it in him. But I think he's a little bit more humble after he got that after he fed that humble pie with what went on in Cleveland and what went on with the fact that he had a franchise. He was the head coach of a franchise that gets moved out of town and fired all at the same time. You got to remember who was on that staff as well. You had got Nick Saban was his defense coordinator.
Yep.
You know, and it was some other big names on that staff. So, to me, he's smart, and I think being around those other smart coaches at the time helped him out, and I think helped him all. It's no coincidence that he's considered the greatest NFL guy, and Saban is the best college coach.
Okay. Well, there you go. So there's a Monday in the books. Super Bowl Monday. We just recapped it for you. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. We're going to continue to roll on through the rest of the week, 1-4 every day, Monday through Friday, as we're going to continue to have some fun, have a solid, spirited discussion. Don't be afraid to get feedback if people don't agree with what you have to say, but at the same time, we want you to participate in the show, and it's part of what we do. Make sure that if you missed any part of the show today, catch the podcast. They're all out there and on the and online at ESPN975.com. We want to thank Sprint again for the fact that they were phenomenal sponsors of ours to make sure not only with appearances, but all of Super Bowl week was covered at Radio Row. And of course, if you want to really catch the show and all of our shows Monday through Friday and even on the weekends from morning till night, make sure you download the app, because you can take the app anywhere, and that means we go wherever you go, whether it be on a trip to somewhere between California and New York and anywhere in between, or you're just rolling around the city and you don't get reception in your car. You get the app, you get us, that's what you need to do. You just got Trap, Joel, and Nick, and you're about to get AJ and Fred. The Blitz is next, ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to TryRoughGreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.